And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X-1.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
It is 9 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the last day of April, April 30th, 2016. Program 73 of the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. And in front of me, the executive producer of this show, Mike Estella. And in the booth, Shane Reardon, who is our producer. And it is a pleasure to be here on a Saturday night. Oh, what kind of a rainy Saturday, though, right, Lisa?
Yeah, but rainy. It's still a pleasure to be here.
But your smile sends the rain away.
Hey, I'm happy.
Because you
to
have
be
a
here.
Very big smile with those dimples.
Well, this is a great show.
We are showcasing Cary Grant. Cary Grant. Yes, indeed, Lisa Wolf. And we have a Lux Radio Theater hour-long presentation. So we'll actually be breaking it up into four parts. So it's like playing 2 half-hour shows, but we will play it into 4 parts of the Lux Radio Theater. Carol Lombard co-stars with Cary Grant in this episode called In Name Only from 1939. Then you'll hear Cary Grant in an episode of Suspense. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars as a self-described genius, billionaire, playboy, and philanthropist in the action-adventure Captain America Civil War.
Okay. All right. What do we win?
Well, a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza.
All right. If you can identify this celebrity, you'll win a pizza. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. You'll hear this actor talking to Ben Stiller's character in 2008's Tropic Thunder.
You more shredded than a julienne salad, man.
Thanks, yeah.
What's the secret, dude?
It's a diet. It's a diet,
really?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm trying to come up a little, but it's just, yeah. It's tough.
No, you look good.
And it gets.
What?
All right, if you know who that actor is, call us 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back playing Celebrity Scoop, show 73 of the WGN Radio Theater. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
You more shredded than a julienne salad, man.
Thanks, yeah.
What's the secret, dude?
It's a diet. It's a diet,
really?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm trying to come up a little, but it's just, yeah. It's tough.
No, you look good.
And it gets.
What?
Let us speak with Wally from Justice, Illinois. Hey, Wally.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good.
Good. Can you tell us that celebrity's voice?
Yes, it's Robert Downey Jr.
You are right, Wally. You are a winner. You know what you've won. A $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can check them out at loumalnati's.com. And, Wally, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Take care.
All right, Lisa, are we ready for a salute to Cary Grant?
Absolutely.
All right, so we've been spotlighting or saluting a certain celebrity every Saturday and every Sunday here. We've asked the listeners, do you like what you're hearing? We can continue to do this for a while. And there's tons and tons of Hollywood celebrities that appeared on radio. And tomorrow we have another salute. And tomorrow, you know who we're saluting? Bob Hope. We have a Bob Hope show.
You asked me and then you answered your question.
Yeah, and then Suspense and then Screen Guild Theater. But Lux Radio Theater was probably the longest running, most extravagant of the radio adaptations of movies, okay? Lux Theater was on the air many, many years, and it was hosted for a time by Cecil B. DeMille, probably the biggest director of the Golden Age. And all the big stars appeared on the Lux Radio Theater. We have a top episode for you now called In Name Only. It stars Cary Grant and Carol Lombard. Let's go back to December 11th, 1939, for part one of the Lux Radio Theater.
Lux presents Hollywood. Lux Radio Theater brings you Cary Grant, Carol Lombard, and Kay Francis in the play In Name Only. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille. Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. In Name Only is a play in name only. It's the kind of drama that may be happening to real people right now. Its three-cornered love story is so true to life that I should remind you that our characters are fictional. Those who saw the RKO screen production of In Name Only will think of it in terms of three stars. And we have them all with us tonight. Cary Grant, Carol Lombard, and Kay Francis. As producer of the Lux Radio Theater, I want to thank you all for making casts like this possible. Thousands of you write that in order to show your appreciation, you buy Lux Flakes regularly. This is a loyalty which will be twice repaid. First, by our continued efforts to give you a fine performance here in the Lux Radio Theater, and second, by the splendid performance Lux Flakes will give you in your home. In Name Only is a drama of three very modern people. Beneath the veneer of civilization, basic emotions still govern the lives of human beings. But when this veneer of manners and conventions is torn aside, as in tonight's drama, we have a story of almost primitive conflict, involving three powerful personalities, one man and two women. To his wife, Alec Warren is bound by ties that even her selfishness and insincerity have not broken. To Julie Eden, Alec Warren is bound by a tie of love, which makes no demands. I wish we could take credit for the fine diplomatic stroke of getting these three busy stars together again. But this is the way it happened. We received a very polite letter from Carol Lombard. She was sorry to complicate matters, she said, but this week was the only week she could do the play. The next day, we received identical letters from Cary Grant and Kay Francis. Definitely a plot, to which we became the willing and happy victims. Now our three stars are on the stage, and the curtain's about to go up on Act One of In Name Only, starring Carol Lombard as Julie Eden, Cary Grant as Alec Warren, and Kay Francis as Maida Warren. On the banks of a gently flowing stream in Connecticut, a girl stands knee-deep in water, wielding a fishing rod. We say wielding, for by no stretch of the imagination could it be called fly casting. Her line tangles in the branches overhead, in the bushes behind her, and in every submerged log in the stream. From the opposite bank comes a man on horseback. He appears just in time to catch the hook on the brim of his hat.
Whoa, whoa, boy. Easy, boy. Oh, good morning. Say, you want to be careful where you throw that thing.
Would you mind attending my hook, please?
Of course. I'm afraid I'll have to get off. King is nervous with strangers. Well, here you are. My name's Warren.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, you won't catch anything that way.
Well, I might.
No, not any fish.
Well, I'm not trying to catch any
fish.
Oh,
sorry. Huh?
I'm only doing this for exercise, a test for keeping my temper.
Well, it's lucky you weren't trying to catch any fish.
Oh, yes, why?
Because I hate to tell you this, there haven't been any fish in this stream for 20 years.
Well, why didn't you tell me that in the first place?
I didn't want you to stop. I liked watching you. How about a cigarette?
No, thanks.
Well, I don't want one either. How about a sandwich?
I have some, thanks.
Yeah, that's what I mean. How about offering me one?
Oh, all right. Have a sandwich.
Thanks. Say, you certainly got enough of them. Are you expecting company?
No, I have a big appetite.
Good. I like people with big appetites. Hey, by the way, I haven't seen you around here before. How is that?
I haven't been around here before.
Oh, no. I can't sort of. What's your name?
Julie Eden.
Hmm?
And I'd like one of my sandwiches, please.
Oh, sorry. Well, what do you do, Miss Eden? I mean, do you do something for a living?
Well, I'm what's called a commercial artist. I design clothes for women and draw for the fashion magazines.
Oh, is that so? Do you like it? Do you make a lot of money?
Well, enough. I support myself and my daughter.
Oh, you have a daughter, huh? How old?
6, going on 7.
That's right. What's your husband like?
He died 4 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now, look, do you do any drawing besides what you do for magazines?
A little. Not bad, not good.
Bring some of your sketches tomorrow, will you?
Tomorrow?
Yes, like to see them.
All right. But I can't be here unless I bring my daughter.
Well, don't come without her.
I'd like you to meet her. I think you might like her.
I'm sure I will. Is she like you?
Not a bit.
Well, I'll probably like her anyway, huh? Your daughter's a sound sleeper, isn't she?
Uh-huh. Too much lunch, I guess.
You think I ought to cover her up?
No, she's all right. Oh, it's been a lovely day.
Yes, well. Say, do you realize we've been sitting here over an hour without talking?
Oh, well, that's all right, isn't it?
Sure, it's fine.
You know, conversation is a nervous habit with a lot of people, like smoking.
Yeah, the kind of people who say, but definitely.
Yes, but and too, too divine. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't be more attractive, those people.
Yeah. Well, come on, let's sort of make a pact. I don't think we need a pact, but it might come in handy sometime. Now, let's not ever say, a penny for your thought, huh?
All right.
All right, and let's not agree. Let's agree not to talk merely for the sake of talk, huh?
Oh, I like your talk, all right.
Well, oddly enough, I like the kind of talk I have with you.
Oh, thank you. Right now it's time for Ellen's bath. Will you drive us home?
That was the intention. Hey there, Ellen. Come on, wake up.
Oh, hello. I had a nap, I guess. Mm,
you sure did. You slept like a log.
Well, how does a log sleep?
Well, she defeats me again.
Oh, we won't go into that now, darling, because Mr. Warren is going to drive us home in his carriage.
You're not supposed to call him Mr. Warren, Mother. He wants you to call him Alec.
That's right.
And Mother wants you to call her Julie. I heard her say so.
Yeah, I guess you did. What else did you hear?
Oh, nothing. After that, I went right to sleep.
Well, you're a very nice little girl. Just for that, I'm going to let you hold the reins.
Well, that was the intention.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Nice driving, Ellen.
Oh, thank you a lot, Alec. It's been grand. Ellen, run along and tell Aunt Laura you're back for your bath.
Oh, all right. Do you want to come in and watch, Alec?
No, not right now.
Well, all right. Bye.
Bye. She's a nice kid.
Oh, my sketchbook. Are you through with it?
I'll give it to you tomorrow. I want to look at it again, see if you really are any good.
Oh, all right.
See you tomorrow.
Yes, at 4:00.
Right.
Julie.
Hello, Laura.
I saw you drive up. Who was that man?
Oh, just somebody I happened to meet. Name's Warren. What have you been doing all afternoon?
What have you been doing?
Oh, fishing.
I don't see any fish. Is that all you were doing?
Oh, no. There was lunch. And...
Well, you know. Yes, I know.
All right, I picked him up, or he picked me up, I'm not sure which. Anyway, it was all pretty raw. I shouldn't be surprised if he drank, or even worse.
Julie!
Oh, I'm sorry, darling, but you're always so suspicious. You see a man, you immediately think, oh, well, you know.
You can talk. You were lucky. Your husband died while you still had faith in him. If he lived a little longer, maybe you'd have had your eyes open the way mine were.
Look, Laura, other women have had to divorce their husbands just as you did Phil, and for the same reason. They've managed to keep their sense of proportion. Phil left you and you let him go. But you didn't let him go, really. You kept clinging to him in your mind. You're sort of haunted and you keep seeing ghosts.
Well, you don't know what men are. You don't know anything about them.
Well, I was married, wasn't I?
Well, it didn't teach you anything. Underneath, you're still just as romantic and full of illusions as any schoolgirl.
Oh, what's wrong with romance? And what's wrong with illusions if you can keep them?
Well, perhaps you'll find out. Someday, Julie.
Evening, Mr. Warren.
Evening, Carl. Walk him around a little, will you? We've been going pretty fast.
Yes, sir.
Alec, wait.
Oh. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello. Where have you been? Maida's been entertaining.
Yes, I know. Everybody gone?
I'm the last, except your mother and father. Really, Alec, you should have been here. Maida's been making all kinds of excuses
look,
for you.
Look, Suzanne, can I get your car?
Well, you at least might stay and talk to me a minute. The only reason I came to your dull party was to see you.
Well, here I am.
Alec, I'm dining out tonight, but... Well, I could manage to get away early.
No, I'm afraid not, Suzanne. I'm all booked up.
Don't tell me you're staying home. Won't Maida be surprised?
Goodbye, Suzanne.
Bye, darling.
Nevertheless, you ought to be here.
Richard, please, don't excite yourself.
Good evening, Dad.
Well... Good evening, Alec.
How is my very nice mother?
Oh, Alec, it's good to see you.
Well, how are things in the office, Dad?
If you'd come into town once in a while, you'd find out. Didn't you know Maida was having some people here this afternoon?
Well, you know how I feel about parties, Dad.
I'm afraid I don't. You've been acting very strangely lately.
Have I?
Now, look, Alec. Your mother and I have been worried about you. Isn't there something... Well, you used to confide in me, you know, and here lately I feel that...
Oh, no, no. There's nothing, Dad.
Very well. But we don't spend many weekends with you. You might have arranged to be here today.
I'm sorry.
Alec, darling, you're back.
Hello, Maida.
Maida, I don't see where you get all your patience. Any other wife would be telling him just what she thinks of his rudeness.
Well, I don't happen to be any other wife. I'm Alec's wife, aren't I, darling?
Yes. Excuse me, will you?
There. That's what I mean.
Please, Dad. It's quite all right.
He's acting like a spoiled child. I wouldn't stand...
Richard, you're only making things worse for Maida. Don't worry. I'll speak to Alec. I'm sure it's nothing.
Well, I hope so.
Alec. That wasn't very nice of you, Alec.
I know it.
As for your not showing up this afternoon, all I want to say is that I understand perfectly.
Understand what?
If you don't like parties, there's no reason why you should put yourself out to come to them. I don't blame you in the least.
It's marvelous. Even when we're alone, you can do it.
Do what, dear?
Make it look as if I'd beaten you. And make me feel that I want to.
Where are you going?
I'm going out.
For dinner?
Yes.
But Alec, your mother and father...
Wait a minute. One scene's enough, isn't it? Why should there be more? Dad's sure to try getting down to cases, and you know how down he can get. Might even find out the truth. You wouldn't want that to happen, would you?
The truth, Alec?
Yes, about us. But this beautiful marriage of ours isn't quite so beautiful as he likes to think.
He wouldn't believe it, dear.
You've attended to that, haven't you? Good night.
That's the first portion of the Lux Radio Theater starring Cary Grant and Carol Lombard in Name Only from 1939. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater, 11:35 on a Saturday night. This is April 30th, 2016, program 73 in the series. Lisa Wolf over here, Mike Costello, Shane Reeder, and that's the team here on a Saturday night with Classic Radio. We're spotlighting Cary Grant. You like Cary Grant, Lisa?
I do, and I like Lux Radio Theater.
He was probably taller than I am.
No comment.
Strapping... A very strapping, very handsome,
yes,
very funny. He was very funny in a lot of his movies.
There's a great picture of him up on our Facebook page right now, actually doing this show.
Doing this show with Carol Lombard.
Yes, you can check that out.
Yeah, go to our, just hop on Facebook.
Our Facebook page. You would say hop on.
Hop on. WGN Radio Theater.
Yeah. And that's the same place if you want to request a certain show. And we had a couple of people saying they want to hear Johnny Dollar, Boston Blackie.
Yep, we're on it. And you can always send us a text right to WGN 312-981-7200.
Yeah, you can text us or hop on the Facebook. We also have a website for this show as well, which is WGNRadioTheater.com. There's all kinds of fun stuff, thousands of pictures of Lisa Wolf there. And that's part of her contract. We have to put pictures of her up whenever she gives them to us. And it's like on a daily basis, right, Mike?
Yeah definitely. And she has to approve them. And it's a whole process.
Well, it's a lot of work for me, too, you know, to look good and smile. It takes up a lot of time for me.
Mike, how many times have you had heard Lisa Wolf say this? Hey, guys, let's take a picture. Right?
Several times.
How many times? Do you hear that in your sleep? I hear it in my sleep.
Shane, be quiet.
Wait, I can't hear you. You're not on the air. There you go.
I woke up this morning, and I was just through in my right ear, just, can I take a pic? Can I take a picture?
Hey, well, at least I asked you.
Picture.
Being respectful. Yeah.
Let's take a picture.
And it's always when, 2 minutes, there's 2 minutes left, and it's a big, crazy rush.
Hey, guys, let's take a picture.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound just like her?
Yeah, hey, guys, let's take a picture.
Yeah, perfect. Like that's exactly what I hear.
I'm going to work toward that.
Take 47 of them. I need to pick through.
Yeah.
Take 47.
Yeah. And then she just takes them over.
Well, you understand. You know, everybody needs to.
You missed your calling. You should have been a photographer.
Right.
You'd be a trillionaire.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I continue to change my career. I could continue to move forward toward that.
You morph from one career to the next.
Yeah, I'm kind of liking this one, just saying.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're here Saturday and Sunday nights. We are here from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning playing classic radio shows for you on the legendary Radio 720 WGN. We're heard in about 40 states across the country with this signal, this blowtorch, as they say. So it's a lot of fun, and make sure you tune in every Saturday and Sunday night. But now, let's get back to part two of In Name Only, starring Cary Grant and Carol Lombard on the Lux Radio Theater.
More coffee, Mr. Warren?
No, thanks, Tony. Check, please.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Hello. Dining all alone again, darling?
Hello, Suzanne.
Surprise?
Not very. How'd you know I was here?
I saw your car parked outside. I told you I had to see you.
Well, now that you found me, what about it?
Honestly, Alec, you're so direct.
Well, you're not exactly oblique yourself. You'll excuse me, won't you, Suzanne? I've got to go.
Alec, wait. I sent my car home, darling. I'm afraid you'll have to take me.
Oh, I see. All right, come on.
Thanks, darling. Alec, would you please turn the radio off?
Why? I like it.
Alec, what's the matter with you? Don't you care for me at all? I mean, not even the littlest bit. Of course, I might be able to understand if you were in love with Maida. But of all the shams I've seen, that's about the worst. Alec, I ask you to turn that thing off.
Sorry?
Then I will.
Now listen, Suzanne, I want it on.
Let go of that switch.
Suzanne, if you don't, now move over there.
Get away. I tell you what. Oh, Alec, look out.
Yes?
Oh, please, there's been an accident. Could you help me? I think he's dead.
Well, where is he?
Just down the road.
Julie, what is it?
An accident. Hurry, Laura, bring some bandages.
There he is. There.
Well, give me that flashlight.
Here, Julie.
Why, it's Mr. Warren. Oh, thank heaven he's still alive. I was so frightened. We'll have to get a doctor. Have you a phone?
Yes, on the table, just inside the door.
Well, I wonder if you'd mind phoning. There's a doctor at Mr. Warren's house, Dr. Grayson. He's staying there. It's sort of embarrassing. I mean, it was perfectly innocent, of course, but... Well, Mr. Warren's wife is my best friend, and...
His wife?
Well, yes, there might be some talk. So would you mind very much?
No, of course not.
Oh, the number is Darien 58396. And I think it would be better if you didn't mention my being here. Just to avoid any complications. You do understand, don't you?
Yes, it's not very difficult. Call right away.
I think you'll be all right, Maida. Just a few scratches, that's all.
Thank you, Dr. Grayson. May I see him now?
Certainly. Make him rest, if you can.
I will. Good morning, Alec.
Morning.
Well, you certainly were lucky, weren't you?
Yes, I suppose so.
Alec, you must realize that things have been pretty difficult for me for some time. Oh, I know that you feel I've failed you in certain ways, but it doesn't seem to me that you've done much to help.
Mm-hmm.
And now, well, I've tried not to complain. I don't want to complain. But there is a limit.
Meaning?
Miss Eden.
Well, how do you know about Miss Eden?
Her sketchbook was in your car. It was all pretty plain, Alec.
Oh, no. You're barking up the wrong tree, Maida. I wasn't out with Miss Eden, though I wish I could have been.
And just whom were you out with?
Your dear, and as she insists, your very best friend, Suzanne.
Don't be childish, Alec. Suzanne phoned an hour ago saying that she just heard about the accident and wanted to know how you were.
Did she really? Wait a minute. Was Miss Eden at the accident?
You know she was. It was she who called Dr. Grayson.
Oh. Well, will you excuse me, Maida? I've got to go out.
To see Miss Eden?
To see Miss Eden.
This is a new development, isn't it?
What?
Well, you can see what it makes me. You're running around with that sort of woman. After all, people in our position can't afford...
Wait, Maida, do you realize what our position is, yours and mine?
I wish you wouldn't try to change the subject.
You said you loved me when you married me, didn't you?
Yes.
It wasn't true, was it?
Of course it was.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember Larry Stoughton?
What?
I said, do you remember Larry Stoughton?
Why, yes.
Do you remember what happened to him?
He died, didn't he?
How?
I don't know, really, Alec.
He shot himself.
Well?
You know why?
How should I?
He shot himself while you and I were on our honeymoon.
I suppose you're going to say he did it because of me.
Didn't he? Listen to this letter. I've been saving it. Larry, darling, I love you and I always will love you. But this is the only way for me. Yours, Maida.
Where did you get that?
If you must know, his mother sent it to me. You see, he was her only son and she was bitter.
All right. It's true. I did love him. I was mad about him. What of it?
How could you do it?
I had a choice. I could take Larry and love and nothing else. Or I could take you and what went with you. I took you.
Well, at least we know where we stand. Both of us.
Alec, I hope you don't think that my having told you this will condone anything you might do.
I intend to see Miss Eden whenever and wherever I can.
Does that mean that you think you're in love with her?
I don't know. But it means that she's the first person I've met in 2 years who's been able to make me feel like a human being again.
Oh.
Oh, hello, Julie. Here's a sketchbook. I liked them.
Did you?
Yeah. Say, it must have been quite a mix-up last night. I wish I hadn't slept through it all. Incidentally, it was darn nice of you to cover up for Suzanne, Mrs. Duros, you know?
Well, that's all right.
Well, look, Julie, don't get the wrong idea about last night, will you? The whole thing was an accident. Not only to the car, but my being with Suzanne. She was the accident.
Oh, something for you to tell your wife, isn't it? It has nothing to do with me.
Oh, but it has. You see, you and I were getting to be good friends. I don't want that spoiled.
Well, there's nothing to spoil. We had a lot of fun, and that's all. That was yesterday, and it's over.
Oh, no, it's not over. Listen, it was more than just fun, Julie. To me, anyway, I want you to know that.
Was it? Well, I'm sorry. To me, it was just one of those things.
Well, that's not true.
Well, there's no point in arguing about it. I've got to go now. Do you mind? I'm terribly busy.
You don't want to see me again, is that it?
Oh, of course not. We'll probably run into each other. People usually do in the country, but I don't think there'd better be any more picnics. Goodbye.
Convinced that Julie Eden was with her husband on the night of the accident, Maida Warren has come to the cottage to call on her. Of course, there's nothing but friendship in Maida's smile as Julie meets her at the door.
Hello. Miss Eden, isn't it?
Yes.
How do you do? I'm Mrs. Warren.
Oh, come in.
Thank you. I brought you some flowers, Miss Eden. A little appreciation for your kindness. A bit late, I'm afraid.
Oh, they're lovely. Thank you.
You must have thought me very rude, not having called before to welcome you to the neighborhood.
You're very kind.
Are you staying all summer?
Well, another month or so, then I'll have to go back to New York.
So soon? Oh, and that reminds me. I'm giving a little garden party next Thursday. I'd like very much to have you come.
Well, thank you, but you see, between my work and the house here, I don't have much time.
Oh, I'm sure that you could arrange it.
No, really, I'm afraid.
Please, you must come. I'll send the car for you about 3. We're going to be good friends. I know we are.
Thank you.
Not at all. Goodbye, Miss Eden.
Goodbye.
Oh, Maida.
Yes, Dr. Grayson?
May I see you for a moment?
Of course. What is it, Doctor?
Maida, why do you insist on entertaining when you're not up to it?
Oh, dear. Am I in for another lecture?
Did those powders I gave you help you at all last night?
Not very much.
Mm.
I guess by now I'm a little self-conscious about trying to get some sleep.
What's worrying you, Maida? What's on your mind?
Now, there's nothing wrong, Dr. Grayson. Really. I'm just a little nervous and upset.
What about?
Oh, you doctors. The moment that one...
Is it Alec? Is it Maida?
Yes. Yes, it is. Oh, I don't know what to do.
Tell me about it.
He wasn't alone that night of the accident.
Ah.
That girl, that Miss Eden was with him.
How long has this been going on?
Oh, I don't know. Weeks, I guess. He never comes home anymore. Stays out till all
you
hours and...
You talked with him?
What could I say? I don't want to be a nagging wife.
What did he say?
He said, I'll see Miss Eden whenever and wherever I can.
Have you told his father?
Of course not. They wouldn't believe it of their own son, and And anyway, I wouldn't want them to know. Only he's getting so bold about it. I'm afraid they're bound to find out now. I could stand it for myself.
That's where you're wrong, Maida. You can't stand it yourself. There's no reason why you should. I'm going to tell his father now.
Dr. Grayson.
I'm sorry, Maida.
Please.
But I'm only doing what I know is best for you.
Julie! Julie!
Oh, hello?
What are you doing here?
Didn't your wife tell you I was coming?
What? Maida invited you?
Of course. You don't think I go around crashing garden parties, do you? Where is she?
Now, wait a minute. There's something funny about this, Julie.
Miss Eden.
Well, good afternoon, Mrs. Warren.
Oh, well, I'm so glad to see you. Oh, this is Mrs. Warren.
How
Alex's mother.
How do you do?
And Mr. Warren.
How do you do, Mr. Warren?
Miss Eden, did you say?
Yes, the young lady who was so kind to Alec the night of his accident.
Yes, Dr. Grayson told me. Really, Alec, I'm a little surprised at you.
What are you talking about, Dad?
I think you might have shown better taste than to bring her here.
Julie, you'd better leave.
Isn't it too late for that?
Now, just a minute. Maida, tell him you asked Julie to come.
But I did. She came on my invitation. Really, she did.
You don't have to lie for him anymore, Dad.
But she did invite me. Excuse me.
Julie, wait.
Please let me go.
No. No, I want to talk to you.
But I don't want to talk.
Sorry, Julie, but I've got to. There's a lot you have to know, and I might as well start now. She invited you there to make my father think I'd brought you, Julie. The wronged wife. It's nothing new with her. She's been doing it for years.
You know, I didn't know there were women like that in the world. But I'm glad it happened. You know, it changes a lot of ideas I had about you.
I'm glad too, dear. It brought us together again.
What?
Look, have you so many friends that you can't stand one more?
No, but I can't be friends with you.
Why not?
Oh, let's not talk about it.
Julie, I thought we were only going to say things we meant. Why can't we be friends? Why?
All right, because it wouldn't stay that way. With anyone else, yes, but not with you.
I love you, Julie.
No, you don't. You're lonely, unhappy. Any woman with a little kindness would...
Julie.
Oh, Alec. Alec.
Oh, I knew if I ever loved a woman, it would be like this.
No, but it can't be this way.
Julie.
It can't. I won't do it to any woman. I've got a sister whose home was broken up. I've seen her, and I know what it means.
But Maida never loved me.
Well, maybe she does in some way I don't understand.
Now, look, darling. Suppose there were no Maida. Suppose the first day I met you, there had been no Maida.
But there is.
But if I were free...
Don't, Alec. Please leave me out of things. I'm leaving here. I'm going back to New York in the morning. Let's forget we ever met. Let's do anything. Anything not to get into something that'll hurt us all. Please, Alec.
All right. All right, Julie.
All right, that's the second portion of the Lux Radio Theater. We were just very sad because Lisa and I and Mike here, we were reading about Carol Lombard, how she died in a plane crash just a couple of years after this broadcast. She was on a USO tour, and she was in Nevada, scheduled to go back to Los Angeles by train, but she was anxious to get back home to her husband, Clark Gable, at the time. And she was with her mother and her press agent, and the mother was like, I don't want to fly. And Carol Lombard was like, well, I really want to get back home. Let's flip a coin. They flipped a coin. Carol Lombard won the toss, the coin toss. They got on a plane. It fueled in Las Vegas, took off from Las Vegas to go to Vegas, and 12 minutes into the flight, it crashed into a mountain.
Didn't go from Las Vegas to Vegas.
It was going to L.A.
Right, to L.A.
And it, it was going to L.A., and it crashed 12 minutes into the flight. Yeah. So sad. And Clark Gable was so devastated and inconsolable over it, he joined the Air Force to help the in our fight against in World War II against the Germans. So very sad, but you're hearing Carol Lombard in this broadcast along with Cary Grant. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we're back here, WGN Radio Theater, 12:05 on a Sunday morning. Happy Monday, Sunday morning, I mean.
Happy Sunday, Monday,
Happy
whatever
Sunday.
Day. It's all good days.
This is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. And this reminds me of Pee Wee Herman, right? Little Pee Wee Herman dance. Lisa, could you please do the Pee Wee Herman dance for all of us?
Oh, gosh.
Because we can be watched on WGN.
Yes, we can. Is that working,
Radio.com.
It's people working.
People can watch us. They like to watch Lisa.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
yeah.
I just have to, you know, work on my smile and looking pretty, and then we can take some more photos.
Lisa's
but
all in black.
It's a lot of work.
You're all
for
in
me.
Black.
No, I have blue jeans on.
Oh, do you? Okay.
And I have boots.
All right, very good. So before we get into the next portion of the Lux Radio Theater, I want to remind our listeners that we're here on Saturdays and Sunday nights, 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. So make sure that you're here both nights, not just Saturday or Sunday. Make sure you're with us both nights because we play classic radio. Like tonight when we're back here in 20-some-odd hours,
right.
we're gonna have a salute to Bob Hope. We're going to play a Bob Hope radio show, then Suspense, then the Screen Guild Theater. And all of this fun stuff is brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the political thriller Snowden, a true story following Edward Snowden, a computer professional who leaked classified information.
All right, if our listeners know who you're talking about, the number to call, 312-981-7200. You'll win a Lou Malnati's gift card for $25.
Yeah, what a great gift.
All right, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor can be heard here in 1997's Con Air.
I said, put the bunny back in the box.
Call us if you know who that is. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back and playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
I said, put the bunny back in the box.
And we have a caller on the line. Hey, how are you?
Hello. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you? Who is this?
I'm great. This is Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. How are you? We're glad you made it through.
Great.
And we're hoping that you can name that celebrity.
Oh, yeah. That would be the one and the only Nicolas Cage.
You are right. That's what I call Carl, the one and the only Carl Amari. Same thing,
yeah,
right?
There's only one.
There's only one. All right. That's all we can handle for sure. You are a winner, Elizabeth. You know you've won a $25 gift certificate for Chicago's very best deep dish pizza. We hope you'll have a delicious pizza. Do you love that?
Oh, God, I've been promising my daughter I'm going to win a Lou Malnati's from you and Carl forever, and now
so
I've got it.
Wow.
Yay. Well, invite us over. We'll share with you, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I'll be thinking of you with each delicious bite.
Thank you. It's
good.
Great to hear from
All
you.
Right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Elizabeth. All right. She sounded happy to win that pizza.
I'm happy to give it
great.
To her.
I would be happy to win that.
Yeah, she said she's been trying to win it for a while. But see, you know what? This is I've been saying this about the Cat's Pride thing, too. You know what? You send in your picture on Cat's Pride. Somebody wins every single month. And there's not, like, thousands of people. There's hundreds of people, but you have a good chance of winning.
Yes.
Somebody wins every single month. And people are saying, well, what are you talking about? Well, we have a drawing every single month. We give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. Now, if you have a kitten, you know that kitty litter, it's not cheap. Right, so you can get a year's supply of kitty litter.
We're looking at Mike because Mike has a cat.
I would like to win that too.
Do you have one cat?
I have one cat.
Okay.
One cat, one dog.
That's enough, right?
So one of our sponsors is Cat's Pride, and Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, comes in here every single month, the last Sunday in the month, and we do a random drawing and somebody wins it. So here's what you got to do, folks. If you have a kitty cat and you want to be entered into this contest, just take a picture of you and your cat.
Make sure you're smiling.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Smile like Lisa so you can get big dimples too. And send that to us via email at catspridephoto@gmail.com. And you'll be entered into the contest. You might win. Just make sure you send your name, your kitty cat's name, and your city and state.
And just so we're clear, Cat's Pride makes the best kitty litter on the market, and you can check them out on the shelves in the green jug.
Absolutely
right. That is their new packaging.
All right, so we are in the midst of tuning into Lux Radio Theater. It's an hour-long broadcast, so we'll have two more portions of this. We're going to listen to portion three now. This is Cary Grant, Kara Lombard, in an episode called In Name Only. Here's part three of the Lux Radio Theater.
Maida, I want to talk to you.
Well?
Maida, I've asked you several times for a divorce, and you've refused to give it to me. I'm not asking you now, I'm telling you. Either you get one or I will.
I don't suppose I need to ask why.
A dozen reasons, and you know all of them. But the most important reason is that I love Julie Eden. I'm going to marry her.
Marry her?
Yes, if she'll have me. I'm giving you the chance to do it the way that will be easiest for you.
Funny. I was so sure. I thought I could keep you somehow. I didn't care how I did it. And now I've lost. All right. I'll leave for Reno next week.
Mm. Well, I must admit, I'd expected more.
More of a battle?
Yes.
Why? The battle's over. And now I suppose I ought to wish you both happiness. But I don't. I hope you'll be miserable.
Yeah, that's more like you.
No. No, I can't go to Reno. I won't make a gossip's holiday for my friends. I'll go to Paris. It can all be done quietly, and I'll stay abroad for a year after it's over.
Now, you can't avoid talk if you go abroad alone.
I won't have to go alone. I'll go with your father and mother. They're leaving on Labor Day.
Yeah, well, they probably won't go when they hear about us.
But do they have to know just yet? Why couldn't I tell them after we get to Paris?
Because that's my job.
I know. Strangely enough, they consider me rather a satisfactory daughter-in-law. I'd like to be the one to tell them I haven't been.
But
let me have some pride at least, Alec. It's little enough to ask.
All right. All right, if that's the way you want it. But understand, Maida, I don't intend to let anything interfere.
I'm selfish in a lot of ways, Alec. But even my worst enemy couldn't call me stupid. I know when I'm beaten.
I'm sorry, Maida.
You needn't be. I don't ask for pity. I'd do the same thing again if I thought I could win.
Yeah. You know, in certain respects, I admire you a great deal.
Thank you.
Just a second.
Evening, Miss Eden.
Alec, what are you doing here?
I am the census man. Have to find out a few things. May I come in? Thank you.
Alec, I told you not to
I've
come.
I've got to take the census. Now, how long have you lived in New York? One day? How many females in the family? Three? That's wonderful. How many males? None? That's bad. Have to do something about that.
Alec.
Now, look, can you cook? Can you bake? Can you take care of a man in the style he's not been accustomed to? I have to know that before I can give you the license.
What?
The license. No, not a dog license. The other kind.
Alec, will you please?
And by the way, do you marry me?
I can't marry
you. Oh, now, come on, Julie. That's all changed. Maida's agreed to a divorce, so you and I can get married, and I move in here and watch you work your fingers to the bone for me. Well, that's settled, isn't it?
It's not settled. Didn't you hear what I said?
Yeah, I'm not paying any attention to it. Where's your sister?
She's out, and please go before she gets back.
No. Only one thing could make me go, Julie, if you said you didn't love me.
What's the sense of coming here at all?
You haven't answered me.
All right. I love you. I'll scrawl it on fences. I'll print it on a banner and wear it across my chest. Julie loves Alec. Now, what'll it get you? What'll it get either of us?
It could get us arrested.
I told you yesterday how I felt and I meant it.
Oh, now, come on, dear. Whose life are you living? Your own or your sister's?
Well, I'm trying to live my own, if you'll let me, and I'm trying to live it my way. It's the only way I can live it and have any self-respect.
Yes, well, now, that's just a lot of words. Can't you see the words don't make sense anymore?
Julie, I left Ellen downstairs. She... Oh.
Come here, Laura. Alec, this is my sister, Mrs. Morton.
What is he doing here?
Mrs. Morton, I'd like to make you understand that Julie and I...
Make him go.
Well, I can't go until you realize...
I said make him go.
Alec, please.
All right. All right, I'll be waiting outside.
No, Alec.
We're going to go somewhere and talk this over. If you don't come out in 2 minutes, I'll come back and get you.
Don't worry, Laura. I'll send him away.
You're doing what she did. You're breaking up a home just as mine was broken up. And I hate you for it.
Darling, you don't know what you're saying. You've become
You think I don't know what I've become? I used to be able to laugh. I used to be able to enjoy life as much as anyone. Now look at me. Look at me. And then ask yourself how you can do what you're doing.
I am looking at you. And I'm realizing for the first time what's changed you. It's not the woman Phil ran off with. It's Phil himself. It's not having him with you. It's knowing you'll never have him with you. If I send Alec away, I might end up like you. But I'm not going to send him away, Laura. His wife's divorcing him, and we're going to be married.
Julie!
Alec! Alec!
Are you coming, Julie?
Yes, I'm coming. Wait for me. Wait for me.
Well, almost saving time, Maida.
Yes. Well, you'd better go.
It's funny. I've never seen you cry before.
Don't worry. I'm not crying because of you. Well, go ahead. There's no need for a goodbye scene, is there?
No, but I can thank you again. I do thank you, Maida.
It's all so sporting, isn't it? The way it is in books.
Yeah, or prize fights.
Well.
Come in, Suzanne.
I suppose I'm interrupting what is undoubtedly a very touching farewell.
Goodbye, Maida.
Goodbye, Alec.
Cable me, will you?
Well, I must rush. Goodbye, dear. I hope you're not making a mistake.
About what?
Running off to Paris and leaving such a fascinating husband lying around loose.
Suzanne, Alec has asked me for a divorce.
A divorce? Is that why you're... Oh, Maida, you're not going to give him a divorce.
What do you think?
Several months have passed with no word from Maida concerning the divorce. Julie has been patient, but the waiting has worn her nerves to the breaking point. She and Alec are returning from a football game. In the dining car of the special train, they move toward a vacant table.
Well, famine's over. Sit down, Julie.
I'm so hungry I could eat a horse.
I doubt if they serve those. However, we'll see. We'll try it.
Alec, how nice.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, Suzanne. I think you two have met before, haven't you?
Yes, we have. How do you do?
How do you do? Oh, where have you been keeping yourself, Alec? I haven't seen you for months.
Oh, I've been here and there. Consommé, Julie?
Please. I had a card from Maida last week. She seems to be having a marvelous time.
Will steak be all right, dear?
Fine. She's staying over there longer than she'd planned, isn't she?
Dessert? Cheese or something?
Yes, the strongest they've got. Not that I blame her. It must be hard on you. You know Mrs. Warren, don't you, Miss Eden?
Yes.
Isn't she lovely? She's my best friend, you know.
Yes, I remember.
She's an extraordinary woman, Maida is. So, well, so tolerant. So understanding. She certainly understands you, doesn't she, Alec?
Bring a sharp knife with that steak, will you, waiter?
Alec has such a sense of humor.
Oh, he needs it, don't you think?
Yes, but now and then when you're on the receiving end, it's not so funny. I'd like to hear your views on that sometime, Miss Eden. Say about a year from now. I'd like to hear your views on other things then, too. Love, for instance. Well, goodbye, darling.
Oh, beautiful personality, that, isn't it?
What did she mean, Alec?
Well, she meant no good, I can tell you that.
No, love, for instance.
Oh, now, darling, don't pay any attention to Suzanne. She's always got her claws out. I know her.
Maybe she knows you. Maybe she knows you better than I do. But maybe Maida knows you better than I do.
Julie, wait, sit down.
Maybe I don't know you at all.
Julie! Julie, you didn't mean what you said. You know you didn't.
Well, what am I supposed to believe? In August, we were going to be married in a few weeks. In September, it was Thanksgiving. Now it's Christmas, maybe. When is she getting the divorce? How much longer is it going on this way?
Darling, I've told you. She's running into all sorts of legal red tape over there. All we can do is wait.
Wait, we've been waiting. It's 4 months now, and we're just where we were when we started.
Darling, do you think I like it? Don't you think it means as much to me as it does to you?
I don't know whether it does or not.
Well, it can't be much longer, dear.
It can be just as long as she wants it to be.
Julie!
Can't you see it's no good? Can't you see it's no use? Go away and let me have some peace. Forget it all and let me forget. Oh, I can't live this way. I can't stand anymore. I better not.
Stop it, you hear? You're not going to give up now. I'm not going to let you give up. Hello. I didn't ask for the Carlton Hotel in London. I asked for Mrs. Alec Warren at the Carlton Hotel. What? But she couldn't have left. Yesterday? Well, how does it happen she didn't leave a forwarding address? Oh, very well, thank you.
Oh, Mother. Mother, can I help trim the Christmas tree? Can I, Mother?
In a minute, darling. It's got to be trimmed from the top down.
Well, all right. I've got something else to do anyhow.
Ellen. Ellen, put that phone down. You're not to pester Alec, do you hear?
Oh, please, Mother. I just want to tell him not to forget my presents.
All right. And ask him how his cold is.
I will.
Hello, Ellen. It's a long time since I spoke to you. Only an hour? I don't believe it. Well, that just goes to show, doesn't it? What? Oh, about a half an hour. I'll be there as soon as I wrap up a package for you. Mm-hmm. Oh, my cold? Oh, it's only a sniffle. See, here? That's a sniffle. And listen, you tell your beautiful mother not to be so beautiful until I get there. Bye. Who is it?
Merry Christmas, Alec.
Maida.
Merry Christmas, son.
My dear, you ought to see your face. It's wonderful.
Oh, hello, Mother. Hello, Dad.
How are you, Alec?
Well, I'm sort of bowled over at the moment.
The boat docked an hour ago. It was Maida's idea. She said we'd be the best Christmas present you could get.
Merry Christmas, darling.
I've ordered a tree. It should be here by now.
Well, look, I'm terribly sorry, but I can't stay.
You can't stay?
No, Dad, I wish you had let me know.
It was all my fault.
Yeah. I'll come up to the house the first thing in the morning, huh?
But, Alec, you...
Well, you see, Dad, I'd already made other arrangements.
Well, call them up and say your family's here. They'll understand.
I'm sorry. I can't.
We should have cabled him. I'm so sorry. Well, I'm afraid our little surprise wasn't much of a success, was it?
Currently not.
Now, never you mind, Dad. We'll have a nice Christmas Eve all by ourselves, and then we can see Alec tomorrow.
Wait. I think we ought to have a little talk. All of us. Something I think you should have told them in Paris, Maida.
Alec, I hardly think...
Now, please. They've got to know. I want them to know everything.
All right, that is another portion of the Lux Radio Theater in name only, starring Cary Grant, Carol Lombard, with host Cecil B. DeMille, probably the biggest director of the golden age of Hollywood, Ten Commandments and all kinds. He used to like to do biblical epics. He used to take pages out of the Bible, Lisa, and make a gigantic film about it. But he was the host and sort of the, like, producer-director, but really it was just kind of a, they just gave him that title. But, yeah, he was on the Lux Radio Theater for many, many years, as heard on CBS. We'll get back to this salute to Cary Grant. But first, these words here on the WGN Radio Theater. You know, at our website, we have a WGN Radio Theater website, which is WGNRadioTheater.com. And there's our whole schedule on there, all the shows we play every Saturday and Sunday night. And if you click through to the main website, there are 10 free classic radio shows you can download. So that is for our listeners as a thank you. And when you also are at that main website, there's a store. Check out the store. All kinds of classic radio shows available, digitally remastered, and you can get them via digital download or on CD. And in fact, there's a Lux Radio Theater collection in there. We have all kinds of fun stuff. In fact, we put up five new collections every month, right, Mike?
That is correct.
Five collections, and each one of the collections has 12 radio shows on there, 6 hours. So do check out the store often. And what else is there? All kind of pictures of Lisa, just thousands and thousands of pictures.
I'm
it's part of
I'm
her.
Working on my dimples, so yeah. I'm trying to make the creases even deeper, so I'm just going to keep taking pictures.
I mean, here's the thing. It's part of her contract, and her husband is a lawyer. I do not want to get in trouble, so I just obey the
just
contract.
Keep posting those pictures.
Put the pictures up there. Yeah, Shane, on the last break, she came up to me. She said, come on, let's take a picture. She did
one of the selfies.
And selfie.
Lisa, I wanted to ask you, I lost my wallet earlier. Can you check your dimples for me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll see if they're just tucked away in there. Let me check that. I would look, but the light in the bathroom is broken. No joke, it's like black in there.
Honestly, she may have the deepest dimples of anyone I've ever seen.
But that's a good thing. Dimples are a good thing. They look good.
Yeah.
They look good, I mean, 1 week a listener texted and said dimples were a birth defect, so I didn't think that was good, but I'm going to ignore that.
Yeah.
So I'm okay.
All righty.
Most of our listeners are very, very kind.
They always
but
send
every now and then, you know, you got to throw one
if
in
you
the
wanna,
bunch.
If you want to text us and tell us something or there's something where you want us to know, you can text us at 312-981-7200 or go to our Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater, and post to that, and we get back to everybody on the Facebook.
We can't
get back to people on the texts, really. That's
sometimes
tough to do. Yeah, but on the Facebook,
just the good
we can.
Ones.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's tune this in to the conclusion now of In Name Only, starring Cary Grant, Carol Lombard on the Lux Radio Theater.
Ellen, not again. I told you not to call Alec.
Oh, but this is important, Mother.
No, Ellen, I don't know what to...
Hello?
Hello? Is this where Mr. Warren lives?
Yes. Who's calling, please?
Wait a minute. Mother, there's a lady there.
Oh, don't be silly. Alec, he's fooling you because you pester him so much. Hello?
Oh, hello. Is this Miss Eden?
Why, yes.
This is Mrs. Warren. Could I have Alec call you back? You see, we just got here and we were all a little excited just now. Or if you'd rather phone a little later, I'm sure that...
Mother? Who is that lady? Mother, what's the matter?
Ellen, would you be all right by yourself for a few minutes?
Well, sure I will,
I won't
Mother,
be long, but... darling. There's some place I've got to go. Someone I've got to... Well, where is he? Where's Alec? He's with his mother and father. I wish you hadn't felt it necessary to do this, Miss Eden. Somehow I would have expected better taste from you.
I want to talk to Alec.
After all, I'd been tolerant, perhaps too tolerant. But this is Christmas Eve. Alec realizes he should spend it with his wife. Why can't you?
Did you promise to divorce him or didn't you?
I consider Alec's marriage to me his protection against women like you.
Julie!
Alec, she's been lying to you all
yes,
along.
Yes, I know. I should have known a long time ago.
Did you really think I'd let you go, Alec?
Well, you'll have to. I've just told Mother and Dad. I'm leaving for Reno tomorrow.
The moment you file suit for divorce against me, I shall file a countersuit against you. And it won't be a vague other woman. It will be one woman in particular by name.
I'll take you home, Julie.
I'm warning you, Miss Eden. Alec isn't the only one I'll sue. I'll sue you also for alienation of affections. The good of Alec's family is likely to be a rather well-publicized case. And I'll do nothing to make it less so. You have a little girl, haven't you? How old is she? 6? 7? Well, you might as well begin now to teach her how to behave on a witness stand. Because she'll be there.
Well, we seem to have been living in something of a fool's paradise.
Oh, no, she'll never do it, darling. She wouldn't dare.
You heard what she said.
She's just bluffing. She can't stop us now.
Can't she be honest, Alec? You know her. You know there's nothing too vicious, too cruel. We never had a chance, Alec, not from the very beginning.
Oh, Julie, listen, dear. You're tired and upset. Let's wait and see if maybe tomorrow we
tomorrow? Can... We've been living on tomorrows for the past 6 months.
But, Julie...
Why don't we face it? This is today, and this is all we're ever going to get. If you want to go on fooling yourself, go ahead, but I can't. Not anymore.
Julie!
Oh, please let me go, Alec. Now, while we still love each other. Well, at least let's not give Maida that satisfaction, please.
I love you, Julie.
I know. I love you, too. Goodbye, Alec. Hello?
Hello, Miss Eden.
Yes?
This is the manager of the Pierce Hotel. You know a fellow by the name of Alec Warren?
Yes, what's the matter?
Well, he registered here last night, kind of liquored up. And this morning, he looks like a pretty sick man.
Sick? I'll be right there. Well, it's about time you woke up.
Oh, hello, dear. Pretty silly, wasn't it?
Yes, you ought to have a guardian tearing around with a cold like yours.
Yeah. I thought I'd try the whiskey treatment.
Well, nobody can say you didn't give it a fair test. How do you feel?
I don't know. What is this place?
It's a hotel. And you certainly do pick them, too.
How did I get here?
Well, I guess you just sort of floated in. Here, take this pill.
Pill? Why?
Because I want you to.
Well, what's it for?
But you've got the flu.
I got flu, huh?
Uh-huh. But don't worry about it. You'll be all right. Are you hungry?
No. I'm just sort of tired. What time is it?
4 o'clock.
Yeah? 4 o'clock what?
4 o'clock Christmas Day.
Oh, sure. Merry Christmas, Julie.
Merry Christmas, darling.
You know... I think maybe this is going to be the best Christmas I've ever had.
It'll probably be one you won't forget anyway.
I always wanted to wake up like this. To open my eyes and see you the very first thing. Oh, I'm glad I could. You look nice in the morning, Julie. Nice and fresh.
I told you, it's afternoon.
Well, you look nice anyway. But then, you always do, no matter what time it is. And your eyes are so blue and so big. Oh, well, they aren't really blue, are they? They keep changing.
I don't think you ought to talk so much, Alec. You'll tire yourself.
Oh, well, I'd like to talk about... Oh, I see. I shouldn't talk about what I'd like to talk about, should I? Julie, give me a hand here.
I've got to get you medicine.
No, don't go away, please.
Alec, if you want to let me take care of you, I'll have to send you to a hospital.
Oh, no, honey, I don't want to go to a hospital.
Oh, I know, dear, but...
I don't have to go, do I?
Wait and see if you get better.
Do you want me to get better, Julie?
Well, not right away.
No, you... This doesn't count, does it? This time is just velvet.
You know, darling, I wish you were really sick for a long time and that there weren't any doctors or nurses or anybody around so that I could take care of you and watch over you while you sleep and feed you. Oh, I guess I'm selfish and not very sensible. You'll be all right tomorrow.
Julie.
Yes, darling?
Julie, darling. Let's not even think about tomorrow.
We won't. Now go to sleep.
No. I don't want to sleep. I like it the way it is now. If I sleep, I'll miss part of it. I'll miss you. If you go. Don't go, Julie.
Alec.
Don't go, Julie. Don't leave me. I can't.
Alec. Hello, desk. Will you get me a number, please, for me? Dr. Grayson, Henry Grayson. Tell him it's Alec Warner. Hurry. Please hurry.
Well, Grayson, how is he?
Come here a moment, Richard. I want you to meet Dr. Muller. Dr. Muller, this is Mr. Warren.
How do you do?
Evening.
Well, doctor, how is he?
I always believe in absolute honesty. Your son is in a serious condition. It's good he was brought to the hospital at once.
It's a bad case of pneumonia, Richard. What are his chances?
Physically, good. I should say a little better than a 50-50 chance. Mentally, by that I mean psychologically, not nearly so good.
But I don't understand.
What Dr. Muller means, Richard, is that Alec shows no desire to get well. Precisely. And it is our business to find someone who can give him that desire.
Well, his wife is on her way. She should be here any minute.
Good. Is she the Julie he keeps calling?
Well, no. You see...
It's a rather difficult situation, Doctor. There are family complications...
I'm sorry to be blunt, Mr. Warren, but I'm not interested in family complications. I don't say that this Julie is our answer, but she's the only clue we have. Do you know where she can be reached?
I left her at that hotel.
I'm here, Dr. Grayson.
Well, come in, please.
This is Dr. Muller.
How do you
Miss
do?
Miss Eden.
How is he, Doctor?
Our patient wants to see you, Miss Eden. And I think all I need tell you is that his chances of recovery depend upon your seeing him and upon what you say to him.
But, Dr. Muller, you don't realize...
Oh, you needn't worry, Mr. Warren. We aren't going to see each other anymore. We both know it's hopeless.
Ah, does he think it is hopeless?
Yes.
Then it is necessary that you get rid of that thought for him. Tell him whatever you think it is that he wants to hear. Tell him... But I think you know what to tell him better than I do. Go in, please.
Alec, dear, can you hear me? It's Julie.
Huh? Julie? No.
Alec, darling, everything's going to be all right. Do you hear me? Everything all right for you and me.
All right?
Yes, dear, I thought it all out. Nothing matters now except us. She can do anything she likes, but, you know, she can't keep us from loving each other. Well, you've got to get well. Can you hear me, darling? You've got to get well.
Oh, no. You're just telling me that because I'm sick.
No, darling. Please believe me. You've got to believe me. Mr. Warren, tell him. Say something.
Alec.
Look, Alec, it's your father. He'll tell you, too.
Father?
Yes, son.
Is it all right?
Yes, son.
Julie, you wouldn't fool me, would you?
No, darling. You will try, dear. You will try to get well.
I'll get well. I'll get well.
Is that what you wanted, Doctor?
Don't go away, please. Mr. Warren.
Certainly. I'm sorry it has to be this way, Miss Eden. Thank you.
Yes. I thought I'd find you here. Mrs. Warren, please don't go in to see him now.
How dare you?
Alec is very ill. He may not live. If he does live, it'll be because he believes he'll never see you again.
And how did you manage that, Miss Eden?
Well, I told him that you won't fight us anymore, that we can be married.
What made you think it was as simple as that?
Oh, you needn't worry. His father was there. He knew it was a lie. They all knew it was a lie, except Alec.
You've handled this very skillfully, Miss Eden. You've made it look as if Alec's very life depends on you. I admire your ingenuity, but I'm afraid it won't work.
You'd rather see him dead than with me, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
But you don't love him. You don't love anybody except yourself.
I gave up love for what I've got. Do you think I'm going to let you or anyone else get it away from me?
All you can possibly get from Alec is money. He'll give you that.
If Alec gave me every cent he had, it still wouldn't be enough. But someday, his father is going to die.
We all do, Maida.
Oh, Dad, she's trying to keep me out.
I heard her. And you. You'd better take what you can get from Alec, Maida. Because there won't be anything else.
Miss Eden, he's asking for you again.
Will you go in, please, Miss Julie?
Thank you. Oh, Alec, look at me, darling. Everything is all right.
Oh, I thought you told me that before, dear. I must have been dreaming.
We've both been dreaming, darling, but now it's true.
Affairs of the Warrens and Julie Eden being duly settled, our three stars, Cary Grant, Carol Lombard, and Kay Francis, return for a curtain call.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. We're writing Santa Claus for three more stars like you. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Flakes, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents John Garfield, Jeffrey Lynn, and Priscilla, Rosemary, Lola, and Leota Lane in Four Daughters. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from
Hollywood. This is Melville Boyce inviting you to listen to the popular Lux daytime program, The Life and Love of Dr. Susan. Tomorrow is the date of Frida's recital, the moment when she intends to humiliate Dr. Susan. Events are rushing toward a crisis. Be sure to listen. For the time and station, see your newspaper. The Life and Love of Dr. Susan comes to you in addition to the Lux Radio Theater. Heard in tonight's play were Julie Bannon as Suzanne, Jean Arden as Laura, Peggy Ann Garner as Ellen, Clara Blandick as Mrs. Warren, Wright Kramer as Dr. Grayson, Lou Merrill as Mr. Warren, Whedon Chambers as Dr. Muller, Harry Walker as hotel manager, and Gil Patrick as groom. Cary Grant has just finished the Columbia picture My Girl Friday and is now working in the RKO production of My Favorite Wife. Carol Lombard has recently completed Vigil in the Night for RKO. Kay Francis was seen on the screen in the RKO picture In Name Only. Our music was directed by Louis Silvers. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that hour-long presentation of the Lux Radio Theater In Name Only, starring Cary Grant, along with Carol Lombard and Cecil B. DeMille as your producer-director. That was Melville Ruick doing the announcing on that, as heard on CBS, sponsored by Lux. Let's take a break. Then it's much more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. Up, this is where I always ask Lisa if she would like to dance with me.
And I always say yes, but I'm waiting for you to actually
I'm going to take dance lessons because I have two. Did you see that both of my feet point to the left?
I noticed that.
And so I have to overcome that defect.
Hey, listen, don't ask me to dance if you don't mean it, Carl.
I just think you need to get your dancing shoes on.
Yeah, that's right.
His platform dancing shoes.
Yes.
We heard Lisa in a Mies Meals radio commercial. She puts the emphasis on your door, and I put the emphasis on your door on the ends of those commercials. That's the
true.
Only difference, really. Lisa puts the emphasis one way. But, you know, if Lisa does it one way, it's the right way. Right, Mike?
That's,
absolutely.
It's true.
Can't really complain yeah. about that. You're not going to get anywhere if you complain with Lisa. How long have you been married, Lisa? How long has Dan agreed with you?
About 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, Mies Meals is, this is one thing we do agree on.
I do love the magic Mies of
Meals.
Mies Meals.
Yeah. So, folks, we talk about Mies Meals every week, but if for some reason you did not catch this great promotion that we have going on with Mies Meals, which is a free promotion, you get a dinner for two delivered to your home absolutely free. We want you to try Mies Meals, and there's no strings attached. It's absolutely free. All you have to do is put in the promo code radio. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want Lisa to tell our listeners about Mies Meals.
I love Mies Meals because it makes dinner easy every night for me. I don't have to think about what am I making for dinner, going to the grocery store, shopping, preparing. I'm not really good at prepping that way. So what I do instead is I go to the Mies Meals website, which is meezmeals.com. There's about 10 or 12 items on there. I pick the ones that I like. I even customize the ones that I like to include certain things or not include certain things based on my own family's preferences. And it's delivered right to my door, or my door,
to your door,
on Mondays. And that way I've got food chopped, prepped, prepared, and ready to be cooked in my own home each night for dinner. And, for example, the next week I'm going to order herb roasted chicken with fingerling potatoes. I'm a fan.
Right. I pronounce the H, so I would say herb roasted.
Herb roasted.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with the herbs, but
right.
herbs.
That's
herbs.
How I do it.
And I really like the one this week. It's these Kung Pao udon noodles.
Mm,
it's got vegetables and edamame.
I had that a couple of weeks ago.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
And so that's it. It's not just easy. It's delicious and nutritious. That
yeah.
kind of rhymes, so
yeah.
it works out for me.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Mike and I were talking about this. Mike, you used to order out a lot, right? Or order in, as they
yes,
say.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Call in for pizza, or you get burgers, or, you know,
and you know, the
beef
biggest
sandwiches.
Challenge of that is that my wife never always agreed with what I wanted to get.
Yeah.
So we would spend an hour just looking at menus.
Yeah, arguing about which
exactly.
place to go.
Yeah.
So now we got a menu that's got a few different items on it. It rotates every week. We pick what we like, and it's like Lisa was saying, it's healthy and it's good.
Well, that's the thing. It's healthy food, right? It's not just fast food. This is not fast food. This is healthy food. And Lisa, you hit the nail on the head. You can customize it. If you don't like a certain ingredient, you don't like coconut.
I don't like coconut. I don't like peas either. They're
right.
just, they smell funny.
And if you're
so.
Gluten-free, right? They have all gluten-free options.
This is a very small, intimate thing. I mean, I get emails from the chefs, the cooks all of the time
yeah.
asking, you know, did you like this? Did you like that? Would you like it like this? I get emails. It's really a good company to work with.
Yeah.
And we really do appreciate their support, and we really believe in them so much that we want you to try Mies Meals absolutely free. This is a completely free offer. It won't last forever, so take
yeah.
advantage of it right now.
All right, just go to Mies, and it's spelled M-E-E-Z Meals, MiesMeals.com, and just fill out what you need to do, and then decide on what you want. A dinner for two delivered to your home absolutely free. And just put in the promo code radio, and then there's no
they
charge.
They deliver to all of Chicago area. So,
yeah.
And let us know what you think, because we
and
are
suburbs,
so sure.
In the suburbs,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I live in the suburbs. You do. Mike lives in the cities. Let us know what you think. We are so sure you're going to love it as much as we do, but we'd love to hear from you as well.
Yeah, Mies Meals. It's a great, great company. And, you know, we've been doing it now for, I don't know, a couple of months.
Yeah.
I've not had one meal that I haven't liked, honestly. It's just been fantastic.
Well, it's nice to pick what you want.
Yeah.
So.
All right, go to Mies Meals. Take advantage of it. Do it this week. You know, go online. Just go to their website. Check it out. And what do you have to lose? Check it out. Order a dinner for two delivered to your home absolutely free. Put in the promo code radio, MiesMeals.com. Okay, we are in the midst of a salute to the one and only Cary Grant. We just heard an hour-long Lux Radio Theater presentation of Cary Grant along with Carol Lombard. And we are going to tune into an episode of Suspense starring Cary Grant going back to 1943. That's coming up in our next hour. And I want to remind also, we'll be back here tonight at 11 o'clock. We have a salute to Bob Hope. We'll play a Bob Hope radio show, and then you'll hear Bob Hope on Suspense. And then Bob Hope, along with Lucille Ball and Frank Sinatra, star in Too Many Husbands on the Screen Guild Theater. So quite a bit more classic radio coming your way here on WGN. Three. This is going so fast tonight, isn't it?
It is. We're having fun. Time goes by fast.
Yeah, we're having a good time. We just listened to the Lux Radio Theater. We have some more Lux Radio Theaters coming up in the next couple of months. We put a whole bunch of schedule up.
We put a whole bunch of weeks worth of scheduling. A bunch of schedule.
Up on the WGN Radio Theater. Well, you know.
You know, it's getting late.
Yeah. And so if you want to see, we're spotlighting all kinds of people. In fact, we had a listener post us saying, hey, can you do a spotlight to Sydney Greenstreet? And in fact, we are. We are doing one coming up. And I think we're playing the Maltese Falcon with Sydney Greenstreet, plus a Nero Wolfe episode, because he played Nero Wolfe. And then, I don't remember, but something else. But we have all kinds of people that we're spotlighting. I believe we're spotlighting Humphrey Bogart. We have Brian Donlevy. I'm not looking at it right now, but a lot of big stars. A lot of big Red Skelton, I believe, I think. So just check it out, WGNRadioTheater.com. There's the full schedule. So we're going to do this for a couple of months. Looks like people really like the spotlighting of a star. And so Lisa said we can do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm listening to our listeners. See, that's what I do. I learn to listen. And I asked everybody, do you like it or you don't like it? And everybody said, I like it.
All right. Well, we'll do this for a couple of months, and then we'll get back to sort of the regular programming where we play a comedy, a detective, a mystery type of thing. All right. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actor stars in The Lobster, a romantic science fiction thriller set in the near future in which finding a partner is a matter of life and death.
Okay, if you can figure out who this celebrity is, you could win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Now, here is a hint. You'll hear this star in 2002's Phone Booth.
You call me Stu? Who's Stu? I don't know any Stu.
Why do you prefer Stuart?
Look, a lot of people in this neighborhood know who I am.
All right, give us a call if you know who that is, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break. Go ahead. You're up.
What?
Movie clip time.
Oh, right. Okay, here we go.
It threw her.
Okay, well, we are back. We are playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's play that movie clip.
You call me Stu? Who's Stu? I don't know any Stu.
Why do you prefer Stuart?
Look, a lot of people in this neighborhood know who I am.
Let's talk to Jim from Schaumburg. Hey, Jim.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Great. Can you name that celebrity?
That's Colin Farrell.
It is. And, Jim, you are a winner. You have won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza. You can visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations and check out their menu at loumalnati's.com. Okay, thank you so
much for calling. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. All right, it's time for a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Cary Grant starred on Suspense 4 or 5 times throughout the 20-plus year run of Suspense, and this was really the best theater of thrills and mystery and detective. And it had the best writers, it had the best producers, and the best actors. All of the big actors appeared on Suspense, including Cary Grant and Jimmy Stewart, Henry Fonda, Humphrey Bogart, Betty Davis, Orson Welles. They all appeared on Suspense. Why? Because it was the best show. So we play a lot of Suspense here, and we have an episode for you now. This is going back to a broadcast date of December 2nd, 1943. Cary Grant stars in The Black Curtain. Here's part one now of Suspense.
Suspense. Pre-
presented by Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud.
Your health, senor.
The world toasts Roma, and Roma toasts the world. The wine for your table is Roma, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black, here for Roma Wines to introduce this weekly half hour of suspense. Tonight in Hollywood, we are honored and happy to have with us one of the entertainment world's most distinguished gentlemen, Mr. Cary Grant. The suspense play which stars Cary Grant and which is produced and directed by William Spear is the exciting and tense bestseller by Cornell Woolrich called The Black Curtain. Suspense is compounded of mystery and suspicion and dangerous adventure. In this series, Roma brings you tales calculated to intrigue you, to stir your nerves, to offer you a precarious situation and then withhold the solution until the last possible moment. And so, with The Black Curtain and with the performance of Cary Grant, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
It began, or rather life began again for me, I guess you'd say, that day on that street. My head was pounding terribly. I could hear all the noise and the people milling around. Everything was a jumble at first.
Now get back there. Everybody back there.
Oh, my head.
His wallet fell out of his pocket, and a big boy grabbed it and ran away.
Now back, everybody. Let the doctor through. Gilmore here.
I'm okay. No, never mind, Doc. I'm okay.
Seems to be nothing much the matter with you, sir.
No, I'm all right.
I guess I can talk to him now, Doc?
Go ahead, officer. Just a bad bump on the head, I think. That's right. We can walk all right, can't you?
I think so.
Sure. Here, now let me brush you on.
Thanks. I'll be fine. Hey, wait a minute. What am I doing with an overcoat?
All right now, mister. Just so they got it on the blotter. What's your name? Where do you live?
Townsend. Frank Townsend. 820 Rutherford Street.
I want a cigarette. You're still shaking.
Oh, no, thanks. Don't smoke.
Well, we're getting back then. Drop in at the receiving hospital if you want us to take you off.
Right? Yeah, I will.
Hey, here's your hat, mister. I found it.
Oh, thanks,
that's
kid.
That's all. Now, come on. Move along. The guy's all right. Come on. Oh, well, thanks. I'm sorry about the fellow that got your wallet. Anyway, here's your cigar case, Mr. Townsend. Guy found it right alongside you.
Hey, wait a minute. This isn't my hat. D.N. Those aren't my initials, D.N.
Sure, that's your hat. I seen it roll off you when you went down. Try it on. You see? It fits. Looks good.
Yeah. But what am I doing with a cigar case? D.N. Same initials as the hat.
Don't you even know your own hat, mister?
Wait a minute. I'm trying to think. Where is this?
What?
This street.
You're on Tillery Street.
Tillery Street? What am I doing on Tillery Street?
He's lost.
All right now, sir. My suggestion is that you go on home and go lie down. It's cold and starting to snow.
No, please, wait a minute. Don't leave me. Tell me. What happened?
Why, you slipped on this icy sidewalk. Fell down and hit your head good and hard on the curb. You were out for about 20 minutes.
Wait. Ice on a sidewalk?
Well, look at it. That street cleaning department ought to clear away the snow there, too.
Snow and ice?
Sure, why?
Snow? In July?
July? Oh, it's December. December 1943. You better go on home, son. Good night.
1943? December 1943. The last I remember was July 1940. 3 years just gone. Amnesia. A black curtain comes down over your mind. That black curtain had been over mine for 3 years. Where had I been? Who had I been? I hadn't been Frank Townsend. I'd been someone else. D.N. Someone whose initials were D.N. I walked along Tillery Street thinking about it, those 3 years. I could have been married. I could have been a thief. I could have... Something made me turn around on the street for a moment. That was when I first saw him. Gray eyes. He'd been talking to the cop who took my name. He looked up as I did. And then he started to walk rapidly in my direction. I backed away instinctively. Something about him spelled trouble. He called to me as he came forward.
Hey, you, stop! Townsend!
Instinctively, I knew I should run, get away from him.
Hey, you!
I looked back as I rounded the corner. He had a gun in his hand. He raised it. And I turned, back for my life.
What lay behind that black curtain which separated Townsend from his past? With this remarkable story, and with Hollywood's distinguished Cary Grant as our star, the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, tonight assumes the sponsorship of Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills.
Why was he following me? With a gun. What did Gray Eyes want with me? I must have done something. I beat it down the subway and hid. I had to think it all out carefully. I knew I was on the spot for something. Gray Eyes meant business. What could it be? Who had I been? During those last 3 years with that black curtain in front of them. Well, maybe I'd been a gangster. And he was one of a mob that wanted to rub me out. I didn't know. No identification, my wallet stolen. Nothing in my pockets that would help. Just D.N. in the hat. And D.N. on the cigar case. D.N.! My head was aching with worry. My stomach had panic in it. I had to find out who I'd been, what I'd done. But how? Where? Tillery Street. That's where I'd been when I woke up. Tillery Street. Well, maybe Gray Eyes would go back there, too, looking for me. But I had to take that chance. Tillery Street. Good evening, Pop.
Oh, hello there. Couldn't see under that hat at first.
Oh, you know me?
Sure. What can I get you, son?
Oh, well, you got an evening paper I could look at?
Nope. Sorry, never read them. Too much trouble in the world these days, anyhow. Yeah. Say, how you been? You haven't been around 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, well, I've been kind of busy. Look, Pop.
Yeah?
I made a bet with a guy that even though you see so many customers, you'd walk right up and give me my full name.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry, I don't know it. I don't think I ever heard your name.
Oh.
But I know your girl.
My girl?
Uh-huh.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
Well, now, maybe I can still win my bet if you'll give me her name.
Gee, I've heard you mention it. I'd know it if I heard it.
You what? Well, see if I can steer you a little. Now, is it Mary?
No.
Alice? Lillian? Margaret. Huh?
No. Wait a minute. Wait. I know. Ruth. That's it, Ruth.
Ruth?
Yeah.
Well, sure, you got it. Now, what's Ruth's last name?
Gee, I don't know her... I know where she lives, though.
You do?
Yeah, right across the street, the Tillery Apartments.
Well, that's right. But now, what apartment? What's the number of Ruth's apartment?
3C. Apartment 3C. Say, that's pretty good if I do say so. I was only there once, remember? The night I brought the sandwich
yeah,
over.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Will you win your bet, mister?
Huh? Oh, yeah, I think I will.
What's your name so I'll know it next time?
Oh, I'll tell you tomorrow. I hope.
So long.
So long, Pop. Thank you. I'll be...
What's the matter?
Nothing. I just tying my shoe. I'd just been going to walk out when I saw him standing across the street, gray eyes again. I ducked down behind the store window and watched him. He looked over in my direction and then up and down the street. Oh, then he lit a cigarette and strolled down the corner. The minute he disappeared, I yanked the door open, dashed out, ran across the Tillery Apartments and went in.
Who is it?
Ruth?
Yes?
It's me.
again. Oh, Danny, where have you been? Get in here. Oh, darling, it's really you. I caught you.
Hello, Ruth.
Oh, Danny, why did you come here? He's been around here twice today. He may be in the neighborhood right now, for all you know.
Who?
Oh, well, Flattery, of course.
Has he got gray eyes?
What? Yeah. Did you ever see a detective that didn't?
Sure.
Danny, what's the matter with you? You're acting so strangely.
Well, I just want to look at you.
You seem so different, so far away. You haven't kissed me.
Well, that's easily fixed.
Oh, darling, where have you been for 3 weeks?
All around. Miss me?
You know I did. Oh, Danny, do you think we could get away tonight? I've got $3,000 saved up. We could go to Mexico or South America. We could get married. Mr. and Mrs. Daniel Nearing tour the world.
Daniel Nearing?
Oh, yeah, and wife.
Sounds plenty good to me.
You'll never know how good.
We'll get out of here tonight. I'll call up and tell him I'm quitting my job. I'll say I'm sick. All my stuff's here. Nothing's out there but a couple of uniforms. I'll make Alma and Franklin a present of those.
Alma and Franklin?
Don't you bother your pretty head about those two charmers. Maybe they weren't glad when it happened. A couple of vultures. Bye-bye to them. Oh, with you back, Danny. Just think, with my $3,000, we could...
Do you think you ought to quit your job?
Absolutely, I think so. I was never cut out to be a nurse anyway.
I guess you weren't. Any more than I was cut out...
Any more than you were meant to be a secretary.
That's right. Well, I never wanted to be a secretary. Just drifted into it, I guess. Kind of got on my nerves, especially toward the end. You know, the boss was no cinch to work for.
It certainly wasn't. It was a rat. The whole Dietrich bunch are mean, rotten. The whole family.
Yeah, that's right.
All except the old man.
The old man. I sort of liked him, didn't I?
And he loved you, Danny. I think he wished you'd been his son. Poor old man. He's the only reason I've stuck around out there this long.
How are things out there?
Oh, they've been questioning all of us. They've laid off lately, though, since you... Oh, Danny, don't let's talk anymore about it. You're back. That's the main thing. I just want to forget New Jericho and the whole...
New Jericho, huh?
Yes. Oh, Danny. Danny, if only it hadn't happened.
What happened?
You know what. Oh, Danny, what's going to become of you and me?
I wish I knew.
Danny, get away from that window. Leave that shade down.
He's down there.
Who?
Gray Eyes. He's standing in front of the hydrant. He's coming in here, in the building.
Oh, did he see you?
Ruth, will you help me?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to give myself up.
No.
Well, it's better than getting shot at. What can they do to me?
You crazy fool, they can send you to the chair.
The chair?
Well, what do you think happens to a man when he's guilty of murder?
All right, there's the first portion of a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Cary Grant, starring in The Black Curtain from December 2nd, 1943. Let's take a break, then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. This is the, about only another 25 minutes, Lisa.
Yeah, but we'll be back tonight.
That's true. We'll be back at 11 p.m.
We can't
That's in
stay
like
away
20
long.
Hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're tuning into Suspense. Cary Grant is the star. It's a salute to Cary Grant on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. I'm looking at this cast, Lisa. It's really interesting. The cast surrounding Cary Grant include Bea Benaderet. She did a ton of radio. She was Betty Rubble on the Flintstones, but she was on Petticoat Junction. She was the mom. Hans Conried, who also did a ton of cartoons, just all kinds of cartoons. He did the, the Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons, tons of stuff. And then Walter Tetley. Walter Tetley was, again, doing cartoons. He was Sherman on the Peabody and Sherman, cartoons. You remember Peabody, the
little
dog,
bit.
And
a
then Sherman,
bit.
The boy?
Yeah, yeah.
Walter Tetley was an adult doing these, playing kids on the radio. There was two people that did that. He was one of them. I'll think of the other. It was the other guy played Speedy Alka-Seltzer. I can't remember his name right now. I'll think of it. But Walter Tetley was a little person, but he wasn't like real little. He was like in between. He was like, A little shorter than me. Right. How's that?
I'm not going to touch that.
And he had a high voice, never changed his whole life. And so he was able to play kids on the air. And he played Leroy on The Great Gildersleeve.
Gives him a niche.
Yeah.
You know?
And then Joseph Kearns, also in this cast, Joseph Kearns was on the television series Dennis the Menace. He played Mr. Wilson. So all of these actors here went on to have very, very prominent careers in the movies and on television. Of course, Cary Grant, he was on all kinds of stuff. I mean, he was a movie star for many, many years. Did movies all the way into his 50s and 60s. And was one of the most successful Hollywood leading men there ever was. And here you have him on Suspense. All of these big actors were on Suspense. They loved doing it. You know, and the great thing about radio, as you know, because you're an actress and you were in a lot of my Twilight Zone radio dramas and things, you could come to the studio and you don't have to memorize anything. You get the script, you read it a couple times, you know, rehearse it a couple times. You don't have to memorize anything. There's no makeup. There's no wardrobe that you have to wear. It was easy. And these actors, these very busy actors back in the golden age of radio, they were in movies and they would, in between movies, they had to, you know, they wanted to make money. They wanted to stay busy. They wanted to hone their craft. And radio was a different craft, right?
Radio is
very different than being in a movie or a TV show. When you are, and there's a couple of actors, I will not name names, but there was a couple of big movie stars that we used on the Twilight Zone radio dramas. And for those of you who don't know, I produced a series called the Twilight Zone radio dramas back in, started in 2002 till about 2010. We did about 190 hour-long episodes. We took the Twilight Zone and turned it, the Twilight Zone television series, and turned it into a radio drama series. Stacy Keach was the host. And we used a movie star or television star in every broadcast. We used to fly them into Chicago, or they would do it from L.A., and we'd kind of fuse it with the cast. We used all these great actors here in Chicago. And Lisa was an actress on these. This is how we met. And every once in a while, we'd get a stinker. We'd get an actor who would come out and
be like really dramatic.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because they were so used to being a visual actor. To being a voice actor on these shows, completely different skill set. And so it used to really be interesting. I can't do it.
That's not true. You had some nice parts there.
Well, but I never gave myself
a
big
it.
Part because I'm really not an actor. You always did a great job, but we would have these stars come in sometimes, and every once in a while we'd have a stinker. And you know what? We couldn't use it. We'd have to replace them.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I remember those stories.
Embarrassing. It was embarrassing. Anyway, Cary Grant, let's tune this in, the conclusion now, to the Black Curtain on Suspense.
Murder? Bruce, listen to me. I'm not a murderer. If the whole world says I committed murder, I say I didn't. The me that's in me says I didn't.
I never said you were, Danny. I always said you didn't do it. Oh, if you hadn't run away.
So that's it.
All right, Nearing. Open up.
Why don't you come here, Danny? Why?
Quick. We gotta get out of here. How about the fire escape shaft? Dumb waiter.
Dumb waiter. Here.
All right, get in. I'll stand on top and work the ropes.
I don't think it can hold us both.
It's got to. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Danny. Danny, what do we do?
We're going back there to New Jericho.
New Jericho? No, Danny, don't. Please, for me.
Got to. I've got to find out. We're going together.
No. No, Danny, no. I've got the money. We can get out of here and we...
Stop it.
Danny, ouch. My arm. You're hurting me.
But from here on in, we're sticking together. You're going to take me back there. Back where it happened.
All right, darling. It's crazy, but I'll go wherever you go. I can't lose you again.
On the train, Ruth and I said very little to each other. While I hid in the telephone booth at the Pennsylvania station, she'd bought us a couple of cheap overcoats. I sat hunched up in mine, thinking. Ruth had brought along the newspaper clippings. I looked at what they said for the 20th time, trying to see if there was anything there that would help me.
Dietrich Slayer saw it, it said. Secretary wanted in brutal slaying at suburban estate. Police are pressing the search for Daniel Nearing, secretary in the employ of the late John Dietrich, 58, member of a well-known local family who was shot and killed in the drawing room of his New Jericho estate on the morning of November the 7th. Nearing disappeared November the 7th, on the morning of which date he is known to have had a bitter quarrel with the deceased. This last was attested to at the inquest by Elma and Franklin Dietrich, widow and brother of the murdered man. Well, I had all the facts now. Wanted for murder. And yet everything that was in me told me that no matter who I'd been, however many memories I'd lost, that I was no killer, that I couldn't have. I had to get into that Dietrich house and stand again in the room in which it had all happened. Maybe something would come back to me. Maybe there would be...
Danny! Danny!
Over here, Ruth.
It's so dark, I couldn't see you. I said I had nothing to do in town and came out to write some letters.
Let's go, then.
Oh, Danny, I'm scared. Please, let's not stay out here.
You said you loved me.
I do, Danny, I do. That's why I'm scared. They're only going to the village. They'll be back in half an hour at the most.
Come on, open the door, Ruth. Hurry. I've got to see the inside. That room, the place where it happened.
It's wrong, Danny. I'm telling you, you're wrong. They'll find
me. Open the door, Ruth. Quickly. All right. Now, let's have a look at that room.
Please, Danny, please don't. Don't talk about it.
So this is where I'm supposed to have murdered John Dietrich, huh?
Danny, please.
Where was it? Show me exactly where it was, Ruth. I've got to know.
It was there. Right there. He was standing by the grandfather's clock when... Oh, are you going crazy, Danny? If they get you, you'll hang.
Why, the clock. You still believe in me, don't you, Ruth?
I believe you, Danny, but I'm scared. I love you.
Ruth, wait a minute. What's that? Listen.
It's only the old man. He's asleep in that room off there. Don't go in there, Danny. You'll wake him.
I want to see him.
No. No, don't, Danny. He can't help you. You know he's paralyzed and he can't talk.
Turn on the light. I want to see him.
There, you woke him. It's me, Mr. Dietrich. Ruth. This is Danny. You remember Danny, don't you?
Hello, Mr. Dietrich.
See how his eyes are shining.
Yeah. Was he here when it happened?
You know that, Danny. Why do you ask such funny questions? He's been in bed here for 5 years.
That mirror. On the wall there. The clock. You can see the grandfather's clock in the other room.
What are you getting at, Danny?
He could see it. The old man could see the murder through the mirror. Oh, if only he could talk.
He can't talk. You scare me, Danny.
He saw the man who killed John Dietrich. Look, look. He understands what I'm saying. He's blinking his eyes.
Oh, stop torturing him, Danny. Can't you see what you're doing?
But he's trying to say something. Look. Look. His eyes are blinking. He's going to help me. Go outside and watch, Ruth. Go on.
Now watch out at the entranceway. Be careful, Danny. Please, they'll be back any minute.
All right, leave me alone with them.
And I'll call if I hear them coming.
Look now, Mr. Dietrich. Don't be afraid. I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to answer me. Are you trying to tell me something about the murder? Now, blink your eyes. Blink twice if you are. And that's it. Once. Twice. That's good. Did you see it happen? Here, in your mirror. Blink once if the answer is no. Twice if the answer is yes. Once. Twice. You did, huh? You saw it. Now then, is the murderer in this house?
Danny! Danny, they're coming. Franklin and Alma, get out of here. Hide. Run, Danny, run.
Is the murderer in this house? Blink once for no, twice for yes. Yes. In this house.
Danny! Danny, they're coming.
Wait, wait, I've almost got it. Now, Mr. Dietrich, was it me? Once for no, twice for yes. Was it me?
Get out of here, Danny, into the big room behind the curtains. I'll talk to them.
Oh, all right, all right. Well, thanks, Mr. Dietrich. I'll be back.
Ruth? Ruth, is that you in Father's room?
Yes.
Are you here alone?
Why, yes. Why?
Well, we thought we heard voices. What are you so jittery about, Ruth?
I'm just tired, that's all. May I go to bed now?
Father's still awake, Ruth.
You'll go to sleep, all right. I'm going upstairs, Mrs. Dietrich, now.
Good night, Ruth. And take your flashlight with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was dark on the road tonight.
Good night, Ruth.
Good night.
She's brought him back here with her. Hey, my thing.
Who? Dan? Oh, Franklin.
Take it easy. If he's here, we'll get him.
After the evidence we gave against him at the hearing, I'm frightened. Let's get out of here fast. I'll go to the village for the police.
Call the police. No, I'll do it. Hello? Hello? It's too late. It's dead. The wire's cut. Come on, we'll both drive to the village.
But he may be waiting for us out by the car.
Uh-uh. Oh.
What?
Yeah.
What are you doing there, Franklin?
I think I just might need my gun. Come along.
The moment they left the house, I made for the old man's room. I called for Ruth, but she was gone. Maybe Franklin and Elma had caught her after she cut the telephone wire, but I couldn't wait. My life was hanging on minutes now. I shot the flashlight on the old man's face. Now, Mr. Dietrich, you're helping me fine. You know I'm trying to save my life, don't you? Now, the murderer. Was it me? Was it me who did it? Me, Danny Nearing. Blink once for no. Once. Once. Oh, you're sure. You're sure it wasn't me. Oh, you're smiling, Mr. Dietrich. Smiling. Now, it was somebody in this house. Then who was it? Oh, can't you make a sound? Help me, you've got to. Was it Elma? Twice for yes, once for no. Once. Not Elma. All right, then. Was it Franklin?
Up with the hands, Nearing. Up or you'll never go to trial.
Franklin. Look, you've got to listen. You've got to.
Shut up and drop that flashlight. Trying to kill the old man, too, huh? The murderer returned to the scene of his crime,
huh? You know I didn't kill him.
Well, you tell that to the police. Alma will have him here in a couple of minutes. Where's your girlfriend, Ruth?
She's not here. I don't know where she went.
Never mind. They'll find her. You're a dead duck, Nearing. You killed my brother and beat it. What'd you get out of it? That's always puzzled us.
You killed your brother, and now you're going to kill me.
Oh, you've gone nuts, too. Why should I kill my own brother, you idiot?
To get his share of the estate and his wife, Alma, amongst other things. But you can't stop with killing me. Someone else knows the truth. The old man saw it in the mirror.
Huh?
You'll have to kill your own father, too.
The old man saw it? How do you know?
He told me.
Oh, you're lying. He can't talk. He can't even move.
He can hear. And he can blink his eyes. Come over here and look.
Now, look here. I don't...
Rolf!
He'll be all right. I heard him. He was going to kill you. Here's the gun, Danny. Take it.
But Rolf, you shouldn't have. In another minute, I'm not sure it was Franklin.
Oh, Dan, darling, please, let's run for it. They'll be here in a second. It's your last chance. They'll all swear you did it.
Not if I can be with the old man another half minute. Mr. Dietrich. Mr. Dietrich. It's Danny again.
No, Danny, don't. Don't.
What? Tell me, Mr. Dietrich. Was it Franklin? Did Franklin kill your son, John? Blink once if he did. He's afraid. Why are you afraid? Oh, it's this gun. Here. Take the gun, Ruth. You take it. He's afraid. I'm not going to hurt you, Mr. Dietrich. But what's the matter? Why don't you answer me? Who killed John Dietrich? It wasn't me. It wasn't Elma. It wasn't Franklin. But someone in the house. Was it? Ruth! Ruth! You!
I told you not to come. Oh, I love you, Danny. I wanted you. I wouldn't have let them get you.
Why? Why, Ruth? Why did you kill him?
He was always after me. He wouldn't leave me alone. I hated him. Then that night he came at me, threatened me, said he'd kill me. If he couldn't have me, nobody could. He had a gun, and I got it away from him. He hit the clock. He leaned against it. I thought he'd never fall down and die. It was the day you ran away, and I was crazy. They thought it was you. They started looking. I love you, Danny. I still love you. I begged you not to come back here.
Ruth! Put down that gun, Ruth.
No. Stay back, Danny. Stay over there. Just want to look at you. I was hoping we could get away together. But you've been through enough, Danny. And all because of me. Now you're clear, Danny. And this is going to clear me.
Oh, Ruth. Ruth!
I guess that's about all there is to tell. I tried to put it all behind me, to resume my life where it left off over 3 years ago. Sometimes when it gets toward evening, I go and walk along Tillery Street. Once in a while, somebody I don't know, will say, "Hello, Danny." And I just say hello and walk on. I don't want to find out anything anymore. I want it all to die away and be still. And it will. All except Ruth. Because somewhere behind that black curtain I was loved. And loved someone. We must have known a love that I'll never know again.
And so closes The Black Curtain, starring Mr. Cary Grant. Tonight's tale of suspense. Our thanks to Cary Grant for his suspenseful performance here tonight. And Mr. Grant wants us to say that he will be listening with you next week at the same hour to Mr. Robert Young in the story called The Night Reveals. Don't forget then, next week, same time, for Robert Young in Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
All right, that's Suspense, a broadcast from December 2nd, 1943, with The Black Curtain from, I said 1943, but it was sponsored by Roma Wines. It was actually the first Suspense episode sponsored by Roma Wines, as heard on CBS. You heard at the end of the show, they were talking about Robert Young, of course, from Father Knows Best and Marcus Welby. We have a salute to Robert Young coming up in the next few weeks
here. See how that works?
On the WGN Radio Theater.